Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD and LP are available at 877-616-7445. The proceeds go to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We've made $96,896.50. $96,000. Closing out on 100 grand for this year's campaign. And you can pick up those fun little items, the CD or the picture disc LP, which is a very unique thing, and it is a really a limited edition, once-in-a-lifetime limited edition item. You can call 877-616-7445. Visa, MasterCard, personal check accepted. So Survivor 2, I saw that last night after Melissa berated me on Monday because I hadn't seen it, so I said, all right, I'll sit down. I will suppress the gag reflex. Because that's what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks, watching this Temptation Island, which I finally have decided that I have got to be one of the real, one of the world's great masochists. So what, I'm not saying it's a bad show, but why do I want to sit and watch other people having fun? In other words, what am I? Okay, A, they're cut, they're ripped, they're good looking, they're beautiful, they're oiled up, and oh yeah, they're at a resort hotel, and oh yeah, they're at a bar where I guess all their drinks are paid for. I'm watching these people sitting around having drinks, going in hot tubs, going scuba diving, going snorkeling, going in the ocean, going dancing, going out to dinner, having barbecues. Oh, gee, fun! Don't we remember home movies are boring? I'll be in Mexico next week, but I'm reminded by Craig Taylor. Yeah, so I guarantee you my vacation ain't going to be anywhere near as cool as that. I'm going to be with my wife, a woman that I love, a woman who I... it's got nothing to do with it. First of all, I'm paying for that trip. Secondly, I don't look like that Billy dude with the cut, you know, did you see that cat last night doing that shaking it, man, for that chick, that Vanessa? What's that all about? Where do you learn how to dance like that, Billy, you freak? So that's great. Let's watch other people have a good time. And I watched Survivor and I said, this is a show for me. You know, anybody can be on that Survivor show. I mean, you can be old, you can be young. You just got to be able to, as soon as I lose some weight, I can be on Survivor. That's all I got to do, lose some weight. And it's cool that where they, that Australian outback, man, that place is beautiful. That gorgeous waterfall that they were at and the beaches that they're on. And how about that Deb, man? They kicked her rear end. She didn't know whether to flip or freaking fly, man. Her head was spinning as she was walking across that bridge. She thought she had it going on. She studied up the camping books. She was going to teach them how to make fire. They kicked her ass clear off that thing. And by the way, how come they say you must leave the tribe? Why don't they say you have to leave the island? That's what they said last year. Oh, they're not on an island? Yes, they are. They're on a subcontinent. It's time for you to leave the subcontinent. Leave the subcontinent now. I like the way they tell them, it's time for you to go. It's not, you've been a great contestant. Thanks for joining us. Here's a consolation prize. Just get out of here. But I like that show, and it's a show that everybody can relate to. And I don't know. I don't want to say that's why the show is better. I don't even want to go so far as to say that's why the show will survive where a Temptation Island has a limited run. But I'm tempted to say that. I think Temptation Island has a very limited appeal, and it's going to be a limited. Yeah, it's sexy. Yeah, it's cool. How long do you want to watch people get pissed at each other because they're dating other people even though they put themselves in that situation? Whereas the survival thing is kind of neat, especially looking at those clam heads trying to make fire. Boy, they had those eyeglasses. Why didn't they do that? Anyway, that was pretty funny. And then, of course, they ate those fruits with the fruit flies in them and everything else. Is another one on tonight? Oh, geez, my wife's going to hate me. I stayed up. I'm watching 2 hours of this crap last night. Maria's ready to divorce me. Because for her, she doesn't get it. I said, I got to watch this swill. I don't watch TV. I'm watching these shows because they're kind of moderately interesting, you know. And then last night, the only reason really why I tuned into Temptation Island is to see why Tosi and Tahid finally get booted. You know, I really tried to like those people. Why Tosi, sort of, maybe she's okay. That Tahid, what a slob. What a creep. What a freaking mess. That guy is. There is nothing redeeming about that. And that thin little mustache, dude, do yourself a favor. Shave it. Seriously, man. I mean, I know you don't want to take any advice from me. You know, pretty good looking guy. You got to get rid of that mustache, Jose. What are you, freaking Ricky Ricardo over there? Take the mustache off, you jerk. And, it, you know, I'm telling you, man, that cat's whole act is gone. And guess what? He's gone, too, because they got a kid. And then the guy before they left, did you hear what he said? He said, hey, I don't think just because I got a kid is any reason why I got to stay with a woman. And you know what? You're right. But it's also no reason why Fox got to support your ass over there and feed you drinks and feed you barbecue while you're figuring out which chick you're going to cheat on what's-her-face with. Oh, I see. I get it. You feel that you should be allowed to be with other women even though you have a kid. Yeah, that's right. Well, guess what? We don't have to pay for it. And they're so desperate to stay along for the ride that when the producers finally said to them, well, you know what, we'll give you a suite and you can work it out. And, well, okay, sure, yeah, that sounds great. Where's this kid of theirs? They got a two-year-old kid someplace. Where is it? Is the kid being taken care of by an aunt, by an uncle, by grandparents? Hey, you know what? I got a right to criticize. I got a right to comment. These people put themselves on TV. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to sit there in front of the TV camera and hog the limelight and see if they couldn't get themselves a good case of AIDS going. Nice go. Hey, that's the next stop for you, Tahid, man. You got a real good case of AIDS cranking. Good for you, babe. But let's just hope you left a bowl of food and water for the kid. You did? Great. House is burning down. The kid's running around out in front of it. So they're gone, but soon to be forgotten. And then there's no reason to watch that show, because I realized last night after they got booted, I didn't care anymore. They put them back in front of the bonfire. Do you want to see the tape of your girlfriend bawling? And maybe you do, maybe you don't. We can date anybody that we want. Whoopee-doo. Without that Waitasi and Tahid, the people you love to hate, I don't want to watch that show anymore. I'm either going back to Survivor or, I don't know, I'm going to do something else with my Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights or whatever time that show is on. But I got done watching Temptation Island. I went upstairs and took a shower. Man. So taking the kids to school this morning, by the way, speaking of Survivor, we got a kid who's entering his teenage... We've already had one kid enter his teenage years. Got another one entering his teenage years. And, you know, there may be a baseball bat in my future. No, this guy this morning is giving me every reason why I'm wrong about everything that he knows and I don't know. And, you know, he's got it going on, man. He's 13 going on 46, and he's got it all figured out. So I finally said, hey, look, Alex, life is like a video game, man. You know how you guys have to hit certain levels?
Yeah.
And in video games, you get the first level, go to the second level, go to the third level. Life is like a series of levels. You're at the kid level right now, okay? You got to beat the kid level.
Well, I already beat that.
No, you did not beat that. I said, look, life is like a series of levels. You're at the kid level, then you're at the teenager level, then you're at the young adult level, and soon, my son, soon, if you're good enough, if you're smart enough, if you're wise enough, you'll beat the manhood level. And few men, if any at all, are able to beat that level. Some guys live their whole lives and they never become men.
Well, I got that all figured out because I'm going to go,
you know, forget it. There I thought I was making this really poetic moment, you know. Yes, manhood is like a level. The next thing I hear these guys with, So I'm going to have to kill me some kids. It's Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Craig says no. I'm going to have to. We were talking about homeschooling. Anyway, let's get off that subject. Let's get on to another subject entirely. Let's get on to the subject of, the subject of women. And let's talk about, Christian women. And let's talk about how much they enjoy sex, because when I was a single guy, and I was living in the Twin Cities, I got to tell you, I got to know a woman through the radio station, let's just say, and she was a devout Christian. She was into Jesus big time. And the only other thing she was into bigger than Jesus was something else. Well, let's just say she'd stop off at my apartment like every morning about 10 o'clock, you know, just in between calling on the elderly people at the old folks' home and going over around noon to visit the, you know, her prison outreach program just for a little, like a two-hour booty call. And I was just a marvel at this, you know, because all the other times she's talking, you know, I really believe in Jesus. I mean, Jesus, I don't want to be specific. I would just sit there in my silk bathrobe, and I'd be listening to this, you know, smoking my cigarette. And, baby, how about getting me a beer while you're telling me all about Jesus? Yeah, sure. But anyway, you know, she's putting her clothes on. She's snapping, could you snap my bra on for you? And, but Jesus is a really great guy, and he's a great guy. Is he? Yeah, I understand he hung from a freaking cross. Yeah, he did. I couldn't believe this. I said, you know, I'm really, really disappointed in you. And she'd say, well, and, you know, no, she'd say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. She'd say, I wouldn't say that I'm disappointed in you. How could I do that? I mean, how would I pass up that? I didn't say anything. I didn't say a thing. Yeah, there is a pathology, and I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush here, okay? So please understand, but you understand as well as I do, there's a pathology about religion and the human condition, about the way we are as people and what we aspire to be, and sometimes there's conflict. And so you've got people who, they've been able to resolve this conflict. Somehow they can put the pieces together so that they go to church and they're Bible-thumping Christian, and she was a Bible-thumper. I'm talking about hold the nose backwards into the water thing. With the guy with the tie and the short sleeve white shirt and hitting the head, and they're going, whoa, you know, that kind of thing. She's into that. And then about, you know, for a couple hours a day, she's over at my house. And I'd say, hey, have you seen this, some pictures I downloaded off the internet? Let me see them. You know, God damn, is that what's that, like an elephant? Yes, it is. I would purposefully, like, try to shock her. And then she'd be off to her ministry outreach, whatever the hell it was. I don't know what it was, and I didn't want to know. And I couldn't wait to get the hell out of that town. It was cold and weird. What would some of the other stuff she'd do? She'd come over to my house, and then we'd go out and have drinks, like on a Friday night. And she was divorced, and she had a couple of kids. But, you know, she had a babysitter for them. We'd go and have, and she'd be talking about Jesus to me. And then the next thing, you know, we'd be in the back seat of my car outside the pub. So we go into the pub, have a couple of drinks, then, you know, go out, go to the back seat of my car with people walking by. I have no idea. I am a very worried, shy, scared, nervous kind of guy with all that crap. Now that I'm a married guy, of course, we don't do that anymore. But back in the day, I'm kidding, honey, if you're listening. You know that I promise we will. Anyway, people walking by and everything. Stuff like driving home, you know. And you know what our Lord says, that Jesus this and Jesus that, as she's unbuttoning her blouse with no bra on. Now she's rolling down the highway, driving the car with no shirt on, no blouse on. And if she had enough drinks in her, it would be like, how about if I flash that truck? No, please. Please don't do that. Please, come on, you know. And then back to Jesus it was. And this is the things, you know, it's not that they're phonies, but you're really pulling against a very strong part of human nature. There's got to be that. No wonder those cats, these ministers, these preachers, Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King, Jimmy Swaggart, these guys are talking about Jesus up here, but man, they're still down here. So why even be sorry? Just say, yes, I did it. What about it?
Well, the Bible says that
yeah, I guess it does say that. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Well, Reverend, and then Swaggart, bawling like a freaking baby. God, that's the, you know, at least Jesse Jackson had the dignity to not cry like a three-year-old. If been me, I would have walked up to that guy Swaggart, I would have slapped him right across the face mid-cry. Just, I'm so sick. Shut up. So that was that. Anyway, we were talking about homeschooling. Let's get back to something more literate, homeschooling. And should you have sex when you're homeschooling your kids? No. Isn't that weird, though, that whole homeschool? That's another Jesus thing. It's not really a Jesus thing, forgive me, but the homeschooling thing is like anti-government, really out there. My kids are at home. I school them. Well, why is that? I'm not going to put my children in the California, you know, a public educational system. And you know, just, you know, I don't know the damage that you're doing to them socially. Of course, I'm sure that plenty of people would call up and say my kids were homeschooled and they're just as functional as anybody else. I think it's a paranoid thing. It's just, why even live in America? Why be a part of a country? Why be a part of a society? And what's your prom like when you're homeschooled, huh? Do you go with your sister? Oh, that's great. So in other words, when you're going, you're homeschooled, prom night coming up, what are you talking about? It's prom night, you got to get dressed up. What, am I going with my kid's sister? Yes, you are. And who won the big game last Friday night? What's the big game? Checkers? All those marvelous social institutions that one misses out on when one goes to high school, one doesn't have. Homeschooled. So do you guys know anybody that was homeschooled? I don't care how bad. I think a kid learns a lot when he has to go to school and fend off knife attacks. I think that it's educational to go through a metal detector, don't you? I mean, oh, so in other words, Phil's being sarcastic. It would be better to school your child at home. Well, yes, if he was in a war zone, I suppose. You know, a little one-room red schoolhouse. Why don't you just paint the garage red, go in there with the little Mary Jane shoes and the hair in a bun or something, maybe a warrant on your chin with a hair growing out of it, and you can look just like your third-grade teacher if you really try hard enough. Slate and chalkboard, you know, and that kind of thing. But I want to go to a modern place with teachers and kids and violence and get in there, kid, and kick ass. Let's go. My kid, Chris, the youngest one, he's ready to start swinging. He was almost into a fist fight the other day with some guy. I said, and what's wrong with you, man? He says, I want to swing on this guy. He's pissing me off so bad. I just want to start beating him. I said, well, why didn't you do it then? Well, you guys would have gotten mad. I said, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I would much rather that than you being homeschooled. And the other thing about homeschooling a kid, you still got to get the approval of the government, don't you? So in other words, you got to go to the man and say, okay, I'm homeschooling my kid. Okay, we got to go and we got to check up on you, right, Craig? And they got to come in and check up. So what's the point? No, you did. You crapped it up. They got to go. What? I homeschooled them. It doesn't matter. You stink. They didn't learn a freaking thing. Now they got to go back to first grade. Guy goes all the way to like eighth grade. He's 13. All right, let's do the test. Your kid flunked out, you idiot. What did you do? I homeschooled him all the way through to eighth grade. Well, he's a moron. Now he's got to start first grade, and he's 28. Good going. That's what happened to Terry Bradshaw. Now, I'm just joking. I was thinking of Howie Long, actually. Homeschool a kid. Anyway, so that's what I said to the kids this morning. You don't want to go to this school? You can. We'll keep you at home, and we'll homeschool you. They think that's really going to be a treat and a half. I said, no, it isn't, okay? It's not going to be fun at all because we're going to have outdoor homeschool, which means you have to, like, climb a mountain and pitch a camp and learn how to make fire just like those people on Survivor and learn how to do calculus all at the same time. What the hell am I talking about anyway? Okay, so that's the story. Got all of that just to say that I saw Survivor last night, and it really was great. And I wasn't kidding about that John Lee Love guy. He did design a pencil sharpener, for those of you who are interested in Black History Month. And that guy, Lonnie Johnson, he did invent the Super Soaker. So what do you want from me? And I'm going to take that home and I'll read it to my kids. That'll be their homeschooling for tonight. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. 877-616-7445 is the number to call for our number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of 2000 CD and album. Hurry and get it now because this is going to be the last year we ever do a CD. This is the last year we do this. We're not going to do any more CDs or vinyl. Nothing. This is it. It's over. Next year, I don't know what we're going to do. Next year, a movie, a street fair, a book fair. I don't know what we're going to do. So the number is 877-61. We're going to have a cakewalk next year, all right? We'll have a cakewalk, and we're going to have a car wash. Phil Hendry Car Wash. Yeah, we'll make a lot of money for our favorite people at my friend's place next year. But this year, get that CD, 877-616-7445, Visa, MasterCard, personal check. Phil Hendry Show. You know, getting back, this is the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. You know, getting back to my two favorite people at Waitasi and Tahid, just to make sure that we really inflict the pain on them, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with hating them. I guess I just hate that whole show, and yet I love watching it. It's just, you know, they're so gorgeous. They're so good-looking. They're tanned. They're oiled. They're eating right. They take their one a day. They have regular sex. They're everything that I could be if I weren't so lazy, and I want them all to die young. Now, that the two of them, that Waitasi and Tahid, what was I hearing? Some L.A. Times reporter dug up the whole information on the kid that they got, so it wasn't exactly a big secret. But, oh, yeah, I know what it was. She's walking down the beach telling that white guy all about it, right? That bald-headed, or not bald, that toe-headed guy? She's talking to him about, well, you know, and I've got a kid, because she's all pissed off and bummed out that Tahid's such a pile of crap. She's been with him for 5 years. She you know, because Melissa says to me, how come you're leaning on him and you're not saying anything about her? Okay, she's a moron, too. And she's so upset with this Tahid, get away from the guy. And anyway, so she's telling this guy, oh, but I love him and we have a child together. So the white guy, he's not too bright. He's kind of a meathead, too. He's on camera. Yeah, she told me she had a kid. That's really kind of a bummer. And the producers are all like, what? She said, what to you, meathead?
Well, she said she had a kid.
Okay, just stay right there. Bob, we got a problem. What?
She got a kid, the black people.
The black people have a kid? Oh, yeah, we can't throw them off. They're black. They're the only black. I don't give a crap. We're throwing them off. They're not. We're the only black people we have on the show. Well, we got some of the black singles, right? Okay. Go ahead and let them stay a week over the thing. All right, we'll let them stay a week in a suite, and that'll be fine. So the L.A. Times guy does all of this work, right? And these two knuckleheads admitted on camera. That dude should have gotten a Pulitzer Prize, but instead he's sitting there with these notes like, well, what do I do with my notes? Well, they're no good now because she just came right out and admitted it. Okay, so where's the story about the skier, Mike? After receiving a 90-day jail sentence for the death of a fellow skier, Nathan Hall offered a tearful apology to the victim's family. I stand before you guys knowing I've taken a human life, a life obviously very special and valued by a lot of people, said Hall, who stopped several times. I in no way feel I've suffered even a small fraction of what I put you guys through. He was convicted of a negligent homicide in November in the death of Denver carpenter Alan Cobb. He was sentenced Wednesday, who said what happened in this case is not an inherent risk of skiing. Would the guy get 90 days? What are you guys all upset about that for? I don't understand. He got 90 days. He should have gotten 90 days. You guys, I'm talking to my staff. They think this is just a shock that this guy was convicted of. He was skiing. These morons that ski ought to watch what they're doing. When you ski, you can hurt somebody. The same way you can hurt somebody if you're snowmobiling, if you're jet skiing, if you're on a bike, you can hurt someone. You got to watch what you're doing. You know, these people that put on the wraparound shades, they got on their suits, they got on the whole look, they've got the dentine, they've got their double mint gum, they've got the sun reflecting off of their wraparounds, the mirrored shades, they're looking good, a little bit of zinc oxide on the nose. You know, you still got to watch where you're going. You know, I mean, this is the ski holiday, man. We're having a Frankie Avalon ski party. You run over some guy who's trying to get up out of the snow. Why? Because I'm the guy he killed. That's why. I'm that guy. I'm the guy laying there in the snow who's trying to get up desperately, and here comes Jean Keeley down Jean-Claude, whatever the hell that Claude's name is, down the hill. Hey, remember that? Did you guys ever hear this story? Maybe you're too young. You know who Claudine Longet is? Do you know who she is, Mike? You know who she is, Greg? She was an actress. And she was a singer or some crap. I don't know what she did. So she was married to this, I think it was an Olympic skier, Spider Sabich was his name. This clown was a skier up in Colorado, and she's an actress. You know, she's doing things like Batman and Love Boat. I don't know what the hell. And he was doing what he did, which was skiing during the day and going off to the lodge at night and, you know, wooing all of these ski bunnies. So this Claudine Longet one day comes in on him. He says, hi, baby. She says, how are you? And she caps this guy. You know, like, I think she emptied the gun into him. And she got off, free as a bird. Is this a great country or what? Is this a great country? Free as a bird, man. Seriously. And she used to be married to a guy named Andy Williams. You know who he is? He was a singer, big in the 50s. And Andy Williams showed up to support her in her time of need after she empties a freaking handgun into poor old Spider. And she got off, man, clean as a baby's rear end. Remember that? That's beautiful. See, if you kill a guy on skis, it's okay. There's not a problem to be had. It's the one person in America you can kill and get off relatively easy. This guy here got 90 days. Claudine, what'd she get? A slap on the wrist? She had to do community service? She empties like a 9mm into this guy, and she's got to go pick trash up off the side of the road for a week, and then boom, they're done, and her and Andy are back in Hollywood seeing if they can make it work. Is that a wild thing or what? And that happened. I'll never forget when that happened. I was, some of it's a little foggy because it was the 70s and it was disco. So, you know, I was doing my thing, of course. I was really trying to enjoy my life on the dance floors of America with my, whatever the hell it was passed for my wardrobe. And I actually had a guy show up in my apartment one night with his shirt open to his navel and he had like a medallion. And I said, get out. Get out. Because we had some of the girls were there, and I guess they were going to go dancing, and I was popping some Bud Malts and dropping Quaaludes, and, I was just doing it. It was a normal, Friday night. I'd gotten off the air. I was working at some local rock station in Orlando and violating their anti-drug policy. And anyway, so I'm sitting there, and in comes this guy with the shirt open to the navel and the whole thing, and I said, you can now get out of here. And they're like, well, no, that's Tony. Tony, I don't care if it's Tony. I don't care if it's Spider Sabich. I don't care if it's Claudine Lange with a freaking chest wig. Get out! And Tony got out, man. Had a chance. Look, it's all I can do to take you guys dancing. I realize it's the 70s. I ain't sitting with Tony in a freaking booth. And that whole trip, forget it. It's not going to happen. So there you go. Anyway, that was that's what happens when you're. That's why I don't ski. Okay, so forget it. I don't go skiing. I told you about the time I was on the bunny lift. That's enough to make. There's something about skiing that will make people want to shoot people. Now Maria, she grew up on skis. She's got home movies. Her whole family's skiing. Oh man, this thing. It's like right out of a Miss Clairol commercial. There they are, all just, going down. Her dad, her mom, her sisters, going back and forth. There's something about this. My wife's family, they love ski, water skiing and snow skiing. This ski thing, they're totally down with. And they're skiing on one ski up at the Bass Lake, which is where the Hells Angels used to do their annual run and up until a few years ago. So I'd say to Maria, your family had a home at Bass Lake. Oh, yeah. I said, did you see the Angels? Oh, yeah, they were a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Sure, I went riding with them and everything. Okay, I don't want to know any more about that. And so they would go around the lake on their freaking skis, and then in the wintertime they'd go up to Mammoth and they'd ski. They just skied their asses off. And that's why she's married to me, because I'm so unathletic. It's not that I'm unathletic. I shoot some hoops. I play some golf. I shoot some pool. I play some cards. I play a little poker. I'm athletic. But I'm not going to... Yeah, I'm a left-handed pool player, too. Watch how you do that wrist motion, Taylor. That isn't me. That's me. Okay, thank you. It didn't look like you were shooting pool there for a minute. But no, I ain't going to go skiing. Although the snow's on a mountain up there, she wants... How did we get on this? Oh, yeah, Spider Sabich. A hell of a guy. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Show. I just want to say, on the Phil Hendry Show, my crew is so full of crap. You guys are, they're talking about this guy. I got 90 days for running into this guy skiing. I said, wait a second. He ran into a guy. He caused the death of another man. He got 90 days. And they're saying, this guy that he hit was a slow skier and shouldn't have been on the mountain. I said, the mountain is for everybody. If you go to, you're going out there, you think you're on a big giant slalom at the Olympics, and Craig says to me with a serious look on his face, if you're going to be on the side of a mountain, you better know how to ski. And I'm thinking, you're just the same kind of jackass that is like behind me saying, hey, you want to hurry up your play when I'm out on the golf course? If I want to have a beer and a cigarette in between shots, that's my business. What do you mean stay on the bunny slope? I love these guys that get out there and they think that they're world champion skiers. They're going down a hill and it's the 2000 Olympics. It's the Winter Games, baby. Look, Charlie, you went up and you're skiing. If you want to get into competitive action, go join the Olympic team or something. There's all kinds of people out of that slope. Some people ski better than other people. So in other words, okay, by your rationale, I just want to be clear. You know what? If you think you're an ass for snowboarding, I'm an ass too, because I want to snowboard. Now, that sounds like fun. Let me ask, I want to get this rationale straight. So, in other words, if you're on the slope, you can run into anybody you want and kill them, and it's their fault. That's what you're saying. It's exactly what you're saying. You're saying you can run into anybody you want, commit wholesale homicide, run a ski right through the guy's neck, and it's his fault. Now, you can tell me about the inherent risk involved in skiing, and I understand that there's an inherent risk, but you're saying you can see a four-year-old trying to struggle up the hill with her skis, and you'll think to yourself, this is Mike Schaefer going, oh, I got a free one, and just sail right into that kid, and when you come to a stop at the bottom of the hill, the kid's impaled on your right ski, and you try shaking her off. That's what you're saying. 15 points for the infant. All right. Schaefer comes to the bottom of the hill and there's a kid stuck to his ski. Oh, how the hell did I do that? Oh, wow. Looks like I need some new skis. I don't get it. I'm not that kind of a balls to the wall kind of an athlete. You know, I'm not the guy. I don't get on the jet ski and do 60 in the harbor. You know, I mean, I'm not that kind of a guy. And there's a certain kind of a mentality among people who are into motorsports, especially, but any kind of a sport. You know, that I work hard and play hard school of thought. Bug off. Work hard and play hard. You know, the guy's leaving his office and he's got his boat, his 50-foot-long cigarette boat on the back of it on a trailer. He's going to take it out to the river and dump a whole bunch of gasoline into the water, okay? So he can do a little rooster tailing and screw up somebody's weekend. People like that. Hey, I get it. You're a real tough guy. You know, you're, oh, man. If only I could afford a cigarette boat. I saw this guy's going out there with the big-ass boat, you know, and, man, those jocks. However, I am planning a ski weekend with my family, and I'm going to keep in mind what you told me, Mike. And how old is your little niece? She was just born, right? So in about a year, she'd be ripe for us putting a ski through. So anyway, you brought it up. You brought it up. You did. This is the Phil Henry Show. No, we don't set up phone calls on this show. We don't pay anybody on this show, except for me.
I think they should have at least asked the dog some questions.
The dog doesn't understand English or any other language.
You're sure?
Sure. How could anybody think that? That's ridiculous.
Did anybody ask the dog?
Well, you ask the dog, you're going to get an answer. Don't be ridiculous.
Dogs
don't understand language.
Sir, you know as much as I do that everybody talks to their dogs. You say, hi, Poochie, how you doing? Come
over
here.
Yeah, but the dog doesn't understand what you're saying.
Well, then why the heck do we talk to them?
Well, that's up to the owner of the dog. The dog doesn't know what you're saying.
It doesn't
understand English. It never went to school.
What? Well, you don't have to go to school. In other words, when you see these dogs who have those big Santa Claus hats with sunglasses on.
The dog doesn't know. He looks humiliated. He doesn't know that. That's a human trait. Dogs are not human.
What about other dogs laughing at it?
Dogs don't laugh at dogs. Dogs don't laugh. That's a human trait. This is anthropomorphism, attributing human traits to animals. It doesn't work.
That's called anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic.
Well, no, wait a minute. I don't know what that means, but...
It means attributing human traits to animals.
When I'm playing with my dog with the ball, he's always going, roof, roof. It's like he's laughing.
He's not laughing, he's barking. Dogs don't talk. They don't mind. Like, you are being so ridiculous.
Sir, what I'm trying to say, if you're smoking a cigarette and you're telling me not to offer one to a dog.
The dog doesn't know anything about cigarettes. It doesn't know what a cigarette is.
Well, all right, Dave.
Doesn't know anything.
Your name is Dave, right?
Yes.
All right, Dave, you sound like a fine gentleman. Do you own animals?
I have in the past, yes. I'm 92 years old, and I know what I'm talking about.
All right, man, you've never talked to a dog.
You can't talk to a dog. It doesn't know what you're saying.
Oh, wait a second. Wait, now I know. Now I understand, Phil.
What?
Dave says he's 92. Now, back when you were a younger man, that would be about 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Dogs, you couldn't talk to them then. But today,
of course you couldn't. You can't talk to them now.
No, no.
They don't know what you're saying.
Today it's a whole new deal.
Dogs
have learned.
Dog hasn't learned.
Dogs
anything.
Have learned what?
Dogs are controlled entirely by instinct, and they have no choice.
So dogs weren't any more talkative back 70 years ago?
Of course not. You can't converse with a dog. You can't do it.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Have you ever seen that painting of those dogs playing poker and smoking cigars?
Yes.
What's that about?
That's a painting. It's not about anything. It's a painting that somebody painted.
Do you understand now, Austin?
Well?
Dogs don't play poker.
Of course they don't. And they don't smoke cigars. And they don't know anything.
What about
dogs? Don't know anything. They're driven by instinct.
How come though? I saw a dog on TV playing pool once. What's that about?
Well,
he was probably trained. He was trained to do that.
What's that got to do with what we're talking about?
How come I can hear you in the background?
There's nothing in the background here. Well, maybe I got the radio on. I'll turn it off.
Oh, no, don't worry about it, Dave. You're okay.
It's off.
Well, all right. If you tell me a dog can't shoot pool or smoke cigars,
I'll tell you that.
All right, I'll believe you.
Well, then what was I telling you for 45 minutes? You didn't want to believe me?
This gentleman's been around.
Well, I don't doubt that Dave's been around, but can't you take my word for it that a dog doesn't feel embarrassed wearing a Santa Claus hat?
A dog cannot feel embarrassed because embarrassment is a human trait, and dogs are not human.
Now run that laughter thing by me one more time. You say they can't laugh.
No, they can't laugh.
Well, then they can't have a good time.
What do you mean by a good time? You're talking about a human good time. They don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what kind of a good time does a dog have?
It doesn't have a good time. Instinct governs its conduct. Instinct is the inborn behavior. It has no choice. It's unchangeable.
Have you ever seen, like, a cat's face? How come cats are always smiling?
I have nothing to do with cats. Cats are not always smiling. An animal can't smile. That's human. It's not human.
I swear to God, I saw a cat smiling one day.
Well, it was your idea. The cat didn't smile. It doesn't know about smiling.
Well, Dave, you're a great man. I'm glad I ran into you today.
I have studied animals
for
years and years. I have written papers about them.
You know what I suggest you do? Because you're an intelligent man, write a paper on why cats can't smile. Because a lot of people
I've already covered that.
But a lot of people think they can.
They can. The cat can't smile.
What about a Cheshire cat? What about a Cheshire cat, the one in Alice in Wonderland?
Oh, that's a story.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with reality.
All right, now do you understand, Austin?
Yeah, it's clear now.
What do you mean, how come a cat smiles?
Cats can't smile.
You got a cat, don't you, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I do.
Ain't it smiling?
It looks like it's smiling, because that's the way it's...
Well, maybe it looks like it, but it isn't. It doesn't know anything about smiling. There are big misconceptions about animals.
You think animals are ever irresponsible?
Okay, that's enough of that. Dave, you did a really good job.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Dave. You helped me out.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Phil Henry.
Yes. I'd like to hold you down and just slap away.